السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون لزاما. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: من لم يسأل الله يغضب عليه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Respected علماء, elders and brothers, the truth is that whenever I come here, the intention is not any bayan, but it is to take the barakah that is in this masjid. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this masjid abad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate Hazrat's ranks, rahimahumullah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us learn from his lessons, and I think more important from the life, and whatever the legacies he left. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of his emancipation, the family's emancipation, the ummah's emancipation, and the hidayat for the whole ummah of our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look at the ayats in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about sawm and fasting, and perhaps now we have heard this ayah on very many occasions, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this command of fasting because you should become aware of Allah. You should have the taqwa and the piety of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In between these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about another aspect. And Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, when my servant asks you about me, that is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then say that I am very, very close to my servants. وَجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ. That when a person makes dua to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to that dua. In one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the last ayat of Surah Furqan. Allah speaks about His ibad, the ibadur rahman, the very pious servants and slaves of Allah. Allah speaks about numerous qualities about them. And when Allah Ta'ala terminates, Allah says, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. That say, O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my Rabb would have not cared about you had you not made dua to Allah. So when we speak about the consciousness of Allah, then many of our akabir, many of our ulama have made mention of this fact, that one very easy way of becoming conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
is by continuously turning towards Allah and seeking and asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make dua to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib, Daman Barakatuhum, when he speaks to the professionals and to the business people, he makes mention of one very, very important aspect. And that is that time and time again you have meetings with various individuals, various people. And in those meetings, when you terminate and before you go to the next meeting or before the next person sees you, how simple a prescription, turn your heart towards Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever this person is coming for, whatever we're meeting for, whatever business it may be, whatever professional it may be, let us turn towards Allah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a success. Now that is that nisbat, that is that ta'alluq that we are building with Allah. That is when we become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I would have never cared about you if you did not make dua. And in the hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, whoever does not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes annoyed, Allah becomes angered with that person. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he was a great wali of Allah. And it is stated in his life, and he had a very amazing life really. He was a person that always tried to avoid the focus of attention. He was a person that did not love rank and status. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, in one period of his life, he goes away into the wilderness. And some business person sees Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is not earning any living. So, and how rightfully also, this business person says to Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi that, oh Imam, whatever your needs be, come and take it from me. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he was a philosophical giant. He was a great wali, a Sufi of Allah. So he, by way of an example for the rest of man, he agreed to this person's offer. And Imam said, I will take whenever I need from you. So Imam rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of this. He says, the first day I went to this person and I said to him, I need some money. I have some needs. So the person opened his sack of gold and he said, take whatever. And the person carried on with his work and he didn't worry about how much the Imam had taken. The second time, Imam Sahib says, I went back to him and I asked and I said to him, I've got some need. This time he asked, how much do you want? So I told him the amount. And he himself took it out and he gave it to me. I had no problem with that. I went away. The third time I came and I asked him and I said to him, I have some need. So he said, the third time he asked, how much you need and now for what do you need? So Imam rahmatullah alayhi took out the previous two occasions coins that he had given and he said, see my brother, this is the point that I want to bring to you. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. My Allah is such that if you do not ask from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes annoyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angered with that person. I can see now you are becoming irritable. This is only the third time. So this leaves us with a very, very great lesson. That yes, this is the world of needs. We will have to work. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only opened the door of dua so that we can ask Allah for our needs, but Allah opened this great door so that we can also become aware and we can submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzat said to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, O Musa, there are five things for me and there are five things for you. The first is, O Musa, uluwiyah, divinity is for me and for you, you have to become my bondsman. And obviously to become the bondsman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what it means is unquestionably, we fulfill each and every command of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Secondly, O Musa, for me is ita'at, obedience. And in lieu of that obedience, for you will be Jannat. And then third, for me, I will shower my grace, my ni'mat upon you. And for you, doesn't only mean Musa alayhi salam, but the whole of mankind, for you is to show appreciation, to make shukr for all the gifts that I have given you. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, O Musa, for me is al-qada. I will preordain, I will predestine, I will predetermine. And for you is rada. For you, you become happy with whatever I have predestined. Whether it is with regards to wealth, whether it is with regards to health, whatever it may be, you should be pleased with whatever I grant you. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know that Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a very, very great sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He was from the Ashara Mubashara, those 10 sahaba who were given glad tidings of Jannah in one majlis of Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Like that, every sahabi was a jannati. But Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was given in this majlis, and of course, after the Khulafa'i Arba, after the 4 Khalifas, the balance of the 6 of the Ashara Mubashara hold the next highest rank amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But apart from that, Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also mustajabu da'wat. He was also one whose du'as were readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is perhaps the exception that what Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu does. It is narrated that in the latter part of his life, Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu had become blind. And in being blind, Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not curtail any of his actions of deen. And occasion arises when he now comes to Makkah Mukarramah. Now we all know that when a great wali of Allah Rabbul Izzat is coming to the Durban airport, then it is only most appropriate that we all go and make istiqbal and welcome him. Here is not only a wali of Allah, here is a sahabi of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is coming to Makkah Mukarramah. So all the people of Makkah, they all go to the outskirts of Makkah, to the boundary of Makkah Mukarramah. And of course, a sahabi, and like us, we make salam with the buzruk and we will ask him to make dua for us. What else are we going to ask for? So like that, and here is mustajabu da'wat, that sahabi whose du'as were accepted, undoubtedly experienced by sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So they asked him for dua. So one person was asking him for dua for his children, and somebody else was asking him for his family, and somebody else was making dua, asking him for dua for good health, and the requests were going on and on and on. There was a young boy, a young qari of Makkah Mukarramah, that stood aside from the crowd, and he observes all this, and he's marveled at this fact that everybody goes to ask dua from Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and when everyone had completed their request, they all had met him, then he goes up to Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He introduces himself. In the narration, it is stated, Hazrat Sa'd acknowledged that, young man, I have heard of your Quran and your Qirat. Then he said, I've got only one question to ask you. Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, brother, ask the question. What is it? He said, each and every person that greeted you made it a point to ask you to make dua for them. And the second, the sunnah Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instantaneously you made dua for that person. When somebody asked for barakah, you said, Allah Ta'ala grant you barakah. Somebody asked, make dua that I get children, Allah Ta'ala grant you the children. And that way, you were so spontaneous in your response. My question to you is, you yourself, you are blind. Why don't you ask Allah to grant you sight? Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, young man, when Allah is pleased with Sa'd in this condition, why shouldn't Sa'd be pleased with it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, from me is al-qada, and from you is al-rada. that I will determine and predetermine and preordain your conditions and your status. But obviously you must be pleased with this. But this is the exception, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, O Musa, from me is istijaba, from me is acceptance of your call and your cry, and upon you lies the responsibility to ask. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes this to all the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, that this dua becomes and it forms an integral part of the life of a believer. Now there are many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam emphasized the aspect of dua, but perhaps if we can just look at dua in a more broader context. When we look at the Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, وَكَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَجِّهَا. He was honored by Allah. The commentators of the Quran have expressed the word wajiha means that whatever Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had made dua to Allah, in more than many ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had fulfilled that dua. Now we all know and we've heard on various occasions that sometimes Allah will grant it immediately, sometimes Allah will grant it later. We also know sometimes Allah will keep a calamity away from our path, or also Allah Rabbul Izzat will reward us on the day of Qiyamah for the kind of dua that we had made. And when we see that reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted, then there is no doubt in the fact, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam is very explicit. We will ask Allah, O Allah, why did you accept even one dua on the surface of this earth? So hence, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the ulama have stated that he was that person that asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or requested from Allah the most insignificant of things, and also he asked Allah for the greatest of all things that a human could ask. The most insignificant of things was when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had come to Madian, and we are all acquainted with the incident. The woman in Madian were drawing water from the well, so he set aside. And then he helped the two daughters of Hazrat Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he goes and he sits under a tree. And then he makes dua to Allah. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. The beautiful dua that Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam makes. Oh Allah, whatever you are going to send down to me by way of my rozi, inni faqir. Allah, I am muhtaj of it. Ulama have written that here Musa alayhi salatu wasalam shows this very great lesson, that dua is not only to draw from the treasure of Allah, by all means do that. But at the same time, dua is also to express our inability in the courts of Allah. And of course, the ulama wrote that I take qasam in the name of Allah, that all Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asking from Allah was one slice of bread. He traveled from Egypt. He came to Madian. Days had passed. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was in a state of hunger. He was becoming dehydrated. And at that time he made this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the greatest ni'mat anyone could have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam submitted to Allah, Allah, I want to see you. That was the greatest anyone had asked Allah Rabbul Izzat, and it had to be Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So wakana inda Allahi wajih. Allah Ta'ala accepted in many ways many of the du'as of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now when we come to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, a very important aspect with asking from Allah, like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, part of a long hadith, the last part of the hadith is, when you ask from Allah Jannatul Firdaus. When you're asking Jannat from Allah, ask for Jannatul Firdaus. The ulama have written that whenever we ask from Allah, ask the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an incident of a person that also asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for two slices of bread. And it was time of Qubuliyat, so the bread also, the dua got accepted, and the person was going to get his two slices of bread, but he was caught oppressively by the police of that time and that place, and he was placed into prison. So this person makes dua in the prison. You know, Allah asked you for 2 slices of bread. And Allah, you put me into this prison. 1 day passed, 2 days passed. And then Allah made some mysterious ways of the freedom of this individual. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had showed him, given him kashf, opened his heart, and he said, you asked for 2 slices of bread. You got your 2 slices of bread. The prison gives it free. So you wanted it, you've got it. So when you ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask the best, ask for afiyat. Ask for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to grant us in the best possible way. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says, I learned an important lesson of asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from an incident that I saw of a little child and his mother. As I walk past the house of this woman, the door opens and she is giving this child a few shots, and she takes him out of the house, she drives him out of the house, and she says to him that you get out of here, I don't want to see you. The child comes out of the house, and thereafter he sits in the veranda. He's crying. He gets up, and Ibn Qayyim is watching the scene. And now he begins to walk. He walks away from his house. He goes to the end of the street. He ponders a little bit. He comes back to his house. He now lies down on that veranda. He puts his head down. And now he's falling off to sleep. His mother opens the door and she finds her son at the door, at the veranda once again. So she said to him, didn't I tell you to get out of here? So he said to his mother, my beloved mother, I did obey. And wallahi, I did leave. And I walked as far as the end of the street. And then the mother asked, and then what happened? He said, then I thought about it. I could go out and work and earn a living. Perhaps I could shine somebody's shoes. I could carry out and undertake some menial task. Perhaps I could have been more successful. But mother, what I realize, that the love of a mother is at this door. That is why I have come back to this door. The mother hugs this child and she takes the child back. And then Ibn Qayyim rahimahumullah, after narrating this incident, he says, I learned the very important lesson. That there is only one door for us also. And that door is the door of Allah. We cannot run away from the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about dua in between the masail of fasting. Allah Rabbul Izzat leaves a very, very great lesson for us in the Quran, that this is the time when duas are also accepted. A fasting person's dua is accepted until he breaks his fast. At the time of iftar, the duas are accepted. The time of sehri, whether it is Ramadan or not, duas are accepted. Brothers and friends, together with our tilawat of the Quran, together with our taraweeh, and together with all our ibadat, let us start exerting ourselves in our dua. Let us cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that person that cannot cry, he should pretend that he's crying. Once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was on a mimbar, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving a khutbah, and some sahaba began to cry. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying, they crying was so beloved by Allah, Allah accepted them. So let us cry in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let us also try in front of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our ibadat, the ibadat of the whole ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala alleviate the difficulties that the ummah is going through, and of course, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Hazrat Wala elevate his ranks, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala be pleased with him. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.